brief meeting with the deacons right after class, so both of you can show up. Pass the word on to those coming in late. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening the two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This evening to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we'll pick up with the exegesis of verse 8. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to secure the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, as this is imperative that we expect to profit from the study at hand again this evening. Our STA is in antagonism, hostility to the truth of Bible doctrine, therefore behooves each and every one of us to deal with it appropriately, under grace, through the rebound technique, so that we can have a clear road, a clear approach in regards to the assimilation of the divine viewpoint, unhindered and influenced by the STA otherwise. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in this particular section, Paul provided evidence in regards to his team, in regards to their integrity before these believers in God as to their evangelistic ministry. And having emphasized the tact and grace that his missionary team exercised with these new converts as evidence of their motivation, as we saw in verse 7, of getting on their level, becoming babes, and in turn, in application, providing them the basic doctrine at their level of ability to assimilate in that regards. Here in verse 8, he now focuses in on the pastoral affection and trust established as a result of having a proper approach of evangelizing in this vein. Looking here at the verse 8 now at the Greek, having thus a fond affection for you. The Greek sentence begins first with the adverb houto, H-O-U-T-O, thus, or in this manner. Having a fond affection is the circumstantial participle here, present deponent of the verb homiromai, H-O-M-E-I-R-O-M-A-I, homiromai. That means having a strong affection for. This verb indicates a strong feeling that's intensified by an inner attachment. It's used one time here in the New Testament. The object of affection, obviously, is the Thessalonians, brought out by the personal pronoun, sous, you, for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Based on this fact, we see the attitude of King Paul. We were well pleased is the imperfect active indicative of the verb eudokeo, E-U-D-O-K-E-O, means they were delighted, were glad, they considered it good. It's used 21 times. To impart is the complementary infinitive, completing the meaning of the idea of being well pleased. To impart or to share is the verb meta, compound verb meta didomi, M-E-T-A-D-I-D-O-M-I. To give with, to impart, to share with. It's used 5 times in the New Testament. to you, again, pronoun su, reference to Thessalonians, not only the gospel of God. It goes beyond here in regards to the delight that they had with respect to these believers. You have the strong negative boo, OU, plus our adverb only, not only, monos, N-O-N-O-S, the gospel with the definite article, the noun, to euangelion, euangelion, E-U-A-N-G-E-L-I-O-N, the gospel here of the God, hotheos, T-H-E-O-S. But in stark contrast here, in addition to, if you will, contrast to what one would consider the most important thing, strong adversity of Allah, A-L-L-A, also the adjunctive use of Kai, K-A-I, in addition to our own lives. You have the reflexive pronoun, heautou, H-E-A-U-T-O-U, translated our own, and then lives is literally souls in the Greek with the definite article he, suke, P-S-U-C-H-E. Then he gives the reason, because you had become very dear to us. You had the conjunction here, diati, D-I-O-T-I, because inasmuch as you had become aorist component indicative of the verb ginomai, G-I-N-O-M-A-I. Very dear is the adjective here in the plural nominative masculine of our verb for beloved, agapetos, A-G-A-P-E-T-O-S, agapetos, to us, the first person plural of the pronoun, ego, E-G-O. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you had become very dear to us. All right, the analysis of this verse, it's kind of a fun verse, as you'll see. The beginning adverb in the Greek text, thus, huto, means in this manner or in this way. And it looks back to verse 7. 2, by identifying with these new converts at their infancy level, King Paul avoided superficial relationships based on unreasonable expectations. Paul, in his evangelistic ministry, where he is evangelizing new converts, people that came out of pagan backgrounds or previous Jewish backgrounds, etc., but they were new to Bible doctrine and the gospel presentation. They dealt with these people differently, if you will, than they would a normal church when it came to the expectations and exercise of their authority in this regard. As we brought out, they recognized the fact that these people, first and foremost, did not have a frame of reference for doctrine. So therefore, they did not flaunt their own superiority or try any other gimmicks in regards to making these people feel bad, feel inferior, etc., in regards to their ministry. But they put themselves in their shoes, recalling back their own experience when they first got on doctrine, and therefore sought to relate to them at that level. And that included in regards to how they taught them, they began with milk doctrine, with basic doctrine, rather than going in and trying to blow them away with some sophisticated doctrine that it would take someone otherwise a large frame of reference and generally years to really appreciate and have, you know, ability to really discern. And in that way, they were able to interact without providing an appearance of self-righteousness, of arrogance, of condescending in regards to their approach to them. And they went as far as not even expecting money from a new converts to support them in regards to their ministry. And when they went in and they dealt with them on this level, they then provided a neutral ground, if you will, a platform for a relationship to be established that was void of superficial energy of the flesh input in regards to them and how they interacted with these people. And when you go into relationships and you have unreasonable expectations, understand the relationship, that's a flaw in the relationship to begin with. And it makes a relationship superficial in and of itself. Now, you hear it out in the dating scene, women who have an eye on some guy, and they have this attitude that, I'm going to change him. I'm going to make him something that he's not. You know, I'm not picking on women. But that is often the attitude that females will have towards a male. That's unreasonable expectations. They are what they are, see. They are going to be what they are going to be. And therefore, you go into a relationship that is not well-grounded. It's not solid in regards to one's goals, one's expectations, etc. And hence, people then get frustrated. They look at it and they say it's not working and all these other things. Well, if they don't meet your expectations before you get married, if I was you, I would step back and think about it before you jump into something like that. See. So, using that as an example. Again, it's the same thing in regards to now establishing a relationship with these new individuals, people they had never met before, on a spiritual plane, under doctrine. And obviously their tact in doing so allows then for this relationship to be built on its own steam based on the own likes and dislikes, etc., of these believers that they are giving the gospel to. So three, this in turn provided a spiritual environment conducive for natural growth and developing bond. A natural growth. Again, not one under energy of the flesh, see. For in this way, the Thessalonians manifested their own positive volition. And Team Paul, then, readily recognized it as genuine, apart from any manifest coercing. In other words, the relationship was based on and built upon what the Thessalonians were soulishly, within their own will, within their own free will. And the fact that Team Paul avoided any avenues where they might come in and otherwise fake it, and you had that in relationships. And, you know, always, and when you're dating, you always put your best foot forward, you know, generally speaking. But to fake things. And you see that in regards to sometimes people say they have an interest in something when they really don't. But they're just seeking to placate or appeal in regards to the individual that they're trying to, you know, wow and wound, swoon and whatever those things, whatever the word you use, be crazy over, you know, whatever. Swoon is not the right word, but you get my drift. Hopefully you get my drift a lot. So, I've told you that this is a lesson on evangelizing, and all these things are important if you want to do it correctly. And this is the proper way to do it. You had all these other things out there in the world, you know, people pumping up their own reputations, their own physical capabilities in life, etc., to get people to like them, to be wowed over them. That's the wrong reason to attract their attention, to bring them to your side of the coin. Now, I'm not saying it may not work in some areas, in some instances, but it provides really a false platform in regards for the relationship to exist to begin with. If it's not about wanting to know the truth, then what is it about? So in this way, the Thessalonians manifested because Team Paul provided the proper environment without manipulating them through psychological or other types of means in this regards. They were able to manifest, reveal their own positive volition, to believe the doctrine. Team Paul saw that, and they recognized, well, this is real. It's not anything put on, because we're not putting any errors on. See? Five, this allowed Team Paul then to therefore embrace these saints in a most natural way. Not having to be led with emotions, the modeling approach you see in the funny world, etc., etc. Having a fond affection for you. It became very natural. Why? Because there was a likeness between the two. And it is recognized that both had the same interests in life at that point in time. So six, now the participle having a fond affection, homeiromai, is a rare Greek word meaning to long for or desire something intensely from within. It's intensified with an inner attachment. In other words, it goes beyond the physical. The affection. The desire, etc., to have a like for the individual. So, seven, it feeds off the metaphor of the love of the mother for her infant children. As it comes specifically off that verse, in verse 7b, obviously a nursing mother reflects tender affection. See? Tender affection in regards to the children. And there is an attachment that goes beyond the physical. The baby was once part of her body. Eight, yet, Paul's language now takes another twist. As the verb infers a yearning and affection seen in a right man longing for his future right woman. Paul loves to use metaphors in regards to his teaching. And staying within the familial metaphor motif, now he moves to right man, right woman comparisons in regards to the relationship, which he will later then jot down and deal and use a father metaphor in this regard. He has a complete picture. The kid, the mother and father, and the way that's all supposed to happen under the divine institution of marriage, see. And he addresses all of them. It's just, it was just something that just popped out to me tonight when I was looking at my notes. He addresses every aspect of the family in this regard. So nine, the language in the remainder of the verse makes this clear, even though he does not specifically say husband or wife. The language definitely looks that direction. So 10, the evangelist now knew going in to Thessalonica, and to this geographical region, to expect a positive response to their ministry. We've seen that before as Paul was given a twitch by God in Acts 16:9, that his ministry was to go in this general location because there was people seeking God. A vision appeared to Paul in the night, a certain man in Macedonia, that's in our area where Thessalonica is located, was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And he's an evangelist. So God had closed doors otherwise, as we've read through this. God's in control, see. He opens closed doors. He knows where positive volition exists, where it doesn't, etc. And he has a geographical will for Paul, and now Paul knows clearly where that will is to take him. So he knew, Team Paul, the evangelist knew, he obviously told the others, that going in, that they could expect a good response, generally speaking. 11, this is comparable, to a man that understands that there is a right woman waiting for him. It's like God to say, and give you a twitch, say, all right, that, to the guy, that female over there is your right woman. Well, how do I know that? Because she's positive, idiot. That's the scenario. That's what's coming down the pike here. So 12, what validated Team Paul's expectations was their positive volition to the gospel. Yes, that vision was true. Look at the response. These people embrace the gospel like you wouldn't believe. Not only with phase one positive volition, but with ongoing phase two positive volition. Right man, right woman. God has a right opposite number for individuals if they so desire to be married. You don't have to be married. It's not God's directive will that you be married. But if it is your desire that way, he has a right opposite number. If you want to find out what God's right person is for you, you'll look beyond the physical appearance. And you'll find, if you will, the real attraction, the real bond will be from within. Our society is so screwed up in what they think love is today, it's not even funny. Some guy can love another guy, get married. What a bunch of idiots. So what validated King Paul's expectations was their positive volition to the gospel. 13, right man, right woman. Under the divine institution of marriage, looks to soul compatibility and reflects the inner attachment then inherent in the verb having a fond affection. The true affection is first seen and is the priority of the positive justice believer. What's the soul made of? Now, obviously, the appearance is icing on the cake, so to speak. And we don't say that appearance is not important. You don't want to look like a bum. If you want to look like a bum all the time, no wonder nobody wants to take you out. See, unless you're back in the old hippie days. Then you could get away with it. But then you had to, you know, take what you got. But anyway. Right man, right woman, first and foremost, looks at the soul of the individual. That is where the bond, a bond that is unbreakable, will exist between positive volition and right man and right woman. So here we're looking at soul compatibility. Is that which establishes the affection that Team Paul had for these positive believers. So 14, it is positive volition that produces the natural bond between shepherd and his sheep. Generally, there is a general camaraderie, bond, affection between the shepherd and the sheep. And it comes about very naturally. I did not have to come down here and do circus stunts and put on airs or anything else in regards to any appeal to the believers that existed at Lake Erie Bible Church. I came down and I did one thing. I taught Bible doctrine in fellowship the best I knew how to teach it. And the bond was established because that's what these believers, this local church, wanted. And the recognition was there. And you can even talk to people that was involved in regards to the candidating period. And they'll tell you that even in conversation, even before meeting some of the pastor candidates, not only I wasn't on the candidate, but it's almost like you knew each other for years. But that's because there was a frame of reference. That was because there was a soulish likeness already establish in this respect. And that is what produces the natural bond. It's not my personality. It's not the fact that I got a great head of hair or whatever. How I dress. Things of this nature any more than it is about you in regards to my affection and liking you in that respect. It's because we all have a soul that is like-minded, if you will. Like choice, like determined. And we're in the angelic conflict on the same side, on the same team, fighting for the same ruler. That's where our bond is at, not unlike being in the military, in that sense. The camaraderie that's established, because it's very natural, because everybody is obviously zeroed in regards to being in that branch, etc., etc. So it is in regards to pastors, right pastors with right congregations. So 15, identifying with their positive volition. In other words, their right soulish counterpart, just as with the right woman. Team Paul found great pleasure in their ministry to these saints. When you had that occasion, that occurrence, there is a right offset number, then it puts a whole different... It provides for a whole different attitude in regards to how one then interacts and has to deal with the situation. When everybody's on the bandwagon and they want it, and this is what we want to hear, this is what we are about, then it's a pleasure to provide that which is necessary for the believer, you know, to fulfill their needs in that regards. Contrary to someone like Moses, who had to deal with an Exodus generation, where it was constantly a trial and a chore. It was not probably fun for him in the mornings getting up going, oh, great, I got to deal with these idiots again today. See, because of their negative relation to Bible doctrine. That he always had conquest generation as something to rely on otherwise in God. So, identifying with their positive volition, with their right soulish counterpart, Team Paul found great pleasure in their ministry to these saints. 16, this is made clear as the marital language persists in the following clause. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. 17, Team Paul did not regard the effort of evangelizing these particular believers, as a chore, but were delighted to communicate the good news regardless of obstacles the couple might face, i.e., the opposition that was around them otherwise. And even in the face of hostility and opposition, Team Paul had fun, if you will, enjoyed their time and opportunity to provide the truth of Bible doctrine to these because they were so eager. Because they wanted to hear it so bad, if you will, in a good way. And they're that positive. So he didn't look at it as a job, so to speak, but as, you know, a hobby, something he enjoyed to do. 18, that their evangelistic efforts were amid much opposition, as brought out back in verse 2, as they spoke in courage and boldness in our God amid much opposition, that their evangelistic efforts were amid much opposition, did not dampen their spirits of zeal and application. It did nothing to diminish, discourage, and all these other things in regards to being prepared and articulating the truth of doctrine and application towards these saints. 19, their ministry was compatible with the joy the Thessalonians possessed as the recipients of the message, as it was brought out back in 1:6b. You also became imitators of us in the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation, with the caveat, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So the ministry was compatible with the joy the Thessalonians possessed as the recipients, picturing the same interests and goals as indication of right man, right woman. you write off the number, obviously they should have some, at least some same interest in regards to the individual. Generally, this recognized even out in the world, whether they're positive or not. People that generally have same interests. That's why you have eHarmony there, so they can put all your interests together and show you who your right opposite number is, but you're too stupid to figure it out for yourself. Where'd that come from? God, the Holy Spirit. But anyway, I have the same interests. I have the same goals. And again, I can't express it too much. How important it is to make sure that interest and goal is Bible doctrine and getting the prize if you're looking for a solid, sound, right, opposite number in regards to your own Christian life. And here, the joy that they're well pleased, that matches the joy of the Thessalonians. That's like right woman, a man coming together. They recognize that's what it is. And how happy are they? I mean, you couldn't peel them off if you tried when they're in that state, generally speaking. They lose their brain. 20, not really, but kind of. 20, the imperfect tense now, the verb, we were well pleased, which is eudokeo, looks to the ongoing action, the imperfect action, ongoing action in the past. The ongoing action of delight they had with these saints, beginning with phase one, faith. Obviously, it begins with the simple gospel presentation of recognizing who and what Jesus Christ is, their Savior, and exercising faith in Him. But the action continues. 21, the relationship then continued to be nurtured and developed with phase 2 positive volition. They were then positive to Bible doctrine after the fact. So the relationship not only had the right foundation to begin with, it had the right mechanics after the fact to sustain it. So the relationship then continued to be nurtured and developed with phase 2, positive volition. Got there, wow, I only want to believe in Christ. They want to now live the Christian life right, under sound doctrine. That's quite exciting. And I guess probably pastor teacher today can have a real appreciation for that as we watch our society wind down in this lukewarm state. How hard is there's guys prepared right now to go out and teach sound Bible doctrine, but there ain't a place around that really wants it to that degree. We'll take it if you'll put a little bit of Fundyism in it. We can still have our all of our programs, our traditions and men's, and all this other stuff. You want to get your goals and make our church big and all this other stuff. We'll take your sound teaching to that degree, but to have a real sound doctrinal ministry is hard-pressed in regards to finding adequate numbers of positive volition in the United States to sustain a ministry. In fact, our prayers are, God, keep our own churches intact. Keep us with enough positive volition for us to continue to exist until the rapture. See? Twenty-two. Now the infinitive to impart or to share with, the compound verb metadidomi, complements their pleasure of evangelizing, which here is pictured as the courting process between right pastor, right congregation, right man, right woman, by getting something while retaining part of the experience for oneself. To share means it's something that you possess, and now you want the other person to experience the pleasure of what you have. But yet, you still retain pleasure for yourself. You share it. See, we understand that. Something you teach your children early on in their age, to learn to share their toys and things of this nature so they don't become greedy when they grow up. So 23, the evangelists, who themselves have been in the Thessalonians' shoes as new converts, had also experienced the joy and blessings associated with early conversion. It's kind of it helped relight their passion and fire of being in the ministry when they came in contact with polyvolition like this. know, as things in the Christian life might go along, and there's doldrums and in your conflicts with your tests, and then you run across something that is just evidence of a positive volition just really springing out. It does something that has a real effect even on the individual that's around it, but not necessarily the one that's expressing it. And they see that kind of fire, that kind of zeal for Bible doctrine. And it kindles you. Relights your fire on occasion. And here the evangelists, they've been in the Thessalonian shoes. They knew what it was like to first get on doctrine. And obviously, all the emotions and everything that was associated with their first introduction to sound Bible doctrine in the gospel and these things. And they want to share this, see, to share what it means to have and possess the truth of God's Word and actually is part of your life, to share that kind of life. So 24, they in turn then wanted to share, having been in their shoes, that the blessings, joy and blessings, that with these converts made available through Gospel 1 and Gospel 2, here simply called the Gospel of God, as it's with the definite article, as it's being used so far in chapter 1, 5, and chapter 2, as we've seen in verses 2 and 4. When Paul uses the Gospel with the definite article, he's looking at the complete Gospel, Gospel 1 and Gospel 2. There's more than just getting into heaven. There is also God's directed will for you as a believer in exploiting the position that you now have in Jesus Christ in heaven. And again, that is where I think part of the lukewarm syndrome has gotten into the ranks of churches that they only look at the gospel as just, you know, trying to get people to heaven and screw the rest of it. And then you send out people, I mean, how educated they got to be with doctrine to go out and evangelize just at that level. That's why any of us can evangelize. And obviously, the more doctrine you have, the better you can evangelize to handle any proselytism that God brings into your periphery. So, 25, for the loyal evangelist, now the gospel is the thing of highest value. That is, obviously, that which is most dear. And that's the truth of Bible doctrine. And that is what, obviously, provides for positive volition otherwise. So, the gospel itself is a thing of highest value. 26, but here, Team Paul wants to further express the depth of their affection for this local church. The depth of their affection for this local church. Truly, how much they embraced them, how much they appreciated them, how much they loved them as companions in the plan of God. So 27, it reflects or evidences here the, quote, soulish, end quote, attachment inherent in the pastor-teacher as a result of finding his right congregation. As with right man to right woman. The soulish attachment. 28, this is brought out in the phrase, but also our own lives. 29, the noun lives is hei suke, and it's literally souls. 30, when a bond in doctrine is established between right pastor and right congregation, the pastor teacher, in essence, is sharing his own positive volition with the sheep. 31, this denotes the willingness to offer his life on behalf of sheep's spiritual well-being and dedication to teaching Bible doctrine. Just as Team Paul were willing to put up with all the BS, persecution, hostility, false arrest, and all this other stuff in order to get these people the truth of Bible doctrine, the gospel message. The willingness, if you will, to give their life. But what they're doing is wanting to share their souls, share their positive volition with other potential positive volition that's out there. What they want to do, what the adjusted pastor wants to do, and one thing that really drives him is to share the good deposit that he's received. See, as Timothy, Paul exhorts Timothy in regards to being a pastor, to take the good deposit the truth of Bible doctrine, and to utilize it and instruct others in his position in his office in that regard. And of course, even the term good deposit puts you in the marital fold, picturing in this regard as in a sexual relationship. See, it's intense. Obviously, our relationship is not that intense, except for one of you. But I'm not going to tell you who she is. But the good deposit, see, the years of doctrine that I had, the training that I underwent to learn to interpret correctly and to present it to you purely in that regards. I wanted to share that, see. And when I heard and saw the response regards to this group, you know, there was no qualms in regards to whatever I had to do then to pack up and move to the tundra. I left Pecosville looking for Santa Claus. Where in Pecosville he wrote those tornadoes in the books. So, our own lives here looks at their souls, the willingness to offer the good deposit on behalf of other population here pictured as their right opposite number, their right congregation. Paul obviously had more than one church, that being an apostle. 32, the language here is that of category 2 love. That's love between right man, right woman. To break our love down in categories, friend love, love of God, that's the highest love, love of children, love of family, love of right man, right woman. So the language here is that of category 2 love, in which the lover wants to share his life with his beloved in an act of self-giving and union. In an act of self-giving and union. Obviously, in the metaphor, Team Paul looks is seen to be the male in the picture, the right man, with the congregation being pictured as the right opposite number. And in regards to the male, who is to be the initiator, woman is generally the responder. His initiating desire is to engage in a union, in an act of self-giving, to share himself, to take care of the female in all areas of life as his soulmate, as his new half, because you are one. So the language is that of category 2 love, in which the lover wants to share his life with his beloved in an act of self-giving and union. Willingness to sacrifice as necessary. 33, the last clause confirms this, because you have become very dear to us. 34, as a result of their positive response to the doctrine, the Thessalonians have become very dear, which is genomai agapetos. Which agapekos is blood, is the term for blood to Team Paul. 35, the adjective agapetos is the cognate of the verb beloved agapao, indicating God's love, divine love, of these saints based on their anticipated position to the gospel used back in 1:4. Knowing, brothers, beloved by God, his choice of you. So, the verb in this family of words, emphasizing the divine love of God, is used previously to denote God's anticipation, their postulation under the doctrine of election, choosing. So 36, the adjective appeals to God's matchmaking role of right shepherd, right sheep, under the principle of divine love. And God does have a right communicator for right local churches if they are sensitive to that. Acts 20:28 makes it very clear that under a sound ministry is God the Holy Spirit that intercedes and interacts on behalf of population to put right pastor with right congregation. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, as Paul is addressing the pastors at Ephesus, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Looking at the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, as it works between Paul's volition. Why? Because Paul's volition is willing to allow it to rule over their soul. Paul's volition is constantly under the directive of God, the Holy Spirit. They're sensitive to what God, the Holy Spirit, wants them to do in regards to their life. And he's able to then intercede on behalf, and obviously being God, orchestrate things and bring things together. Has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the adjective here, very dear, or blood, appeals to God's matchmaking role, right shepherd, right sheep, under the principle of divine love. Wait upon God. You don't have to go out under the energy of flesh. You don't have to crank things up to find your right opposite number. I'm here to tell you. The cosmos will tell you different. They'll throw everything at you in the book to make it seem like it's got to be different. But if you're waiting on your right opposite number, pray about it, put it in God's hands. He'll bring it together. At his right timing, with your right number, see, in that regard. If you're definitely looking for one that is interested in doctrine. If you're not, then don't heed my words. Go out and do what you want to do. I speak as if insane. Don't do it. All right, 37. Now, category 2 love evokes the deepest affection and devotion in the human realm. That's why he picks this category as he's trying to relate this affection and love that a pastor does have for their congregation, for a positive volition. And category 2 love, right man, right woman love, evokes the deepest affection and devotion in the human realm. There's no love that generally in the human realm that surpasses it. Obviously, because it involves sexual love in the proper form. Not before, not with somebody else, but with your right opposite number, see. And it's seen even in regards to, mother may be pregnant, the birth may complicate the pregnancy, and a choice has to be made. If you let the baby be born, the mother's going to die. Otherwise, we need to get rid of the fetus. Let the mother, father, a normal father won't hesitate. Take the fetus. I want my right woman. See? Save her life. So, the love is expressed even in that regard, in the normal realm. There's so much abnormality going on around us, sometimes it's hard to see these things clearly. But doctrine keeps us focused. Doctrine shines light on these things. So 38, from the onset, T. Paul were delighted to share not only the most important thing in the universe, the gospel, but also their own souls, so that no act of self-giving was too much for those who had become very dear to them. Again, their ministry was without compunction. It was without hesitation to dive in the middle of the angelic conflict in this area. No second thoughts, because they saw these people really are interested in the truth. And they could see it. And it's just something inherent, I think, in regards to positive volition, running into like positive volition. You can just tell us there. And the evidence obviously comes then in regards to the application over time, and is confirmed. So again, to me, like I said, this was fun to me because it just pictures my own placement in ministry. I came here without compunction, no second thoughts. Yeah, this is right. It is so right. It should be wrong. That kind of right. It's really right. I knew it. So. Been in other situations where I didn't have that confidence. See. So 39, a bond exists between right pastor, teacher, and right congregation. And the thing then that nurtures and sustains the bond is their mutual fidelity to God and His Word. And that all equals positive volition. See. That's what positive volition is. They seek God, and they are maintain fidelity to Him and His Word. And that's what creates and sustains the bond. So 42, Paul issues a disclaimer here of using their authority for the purpose of improperly ingratiating themselves or otherwise coercing these for self-interest. 41, there are two pure motivations, while unseen, can be discerned from the very tact, grace, and love they afforded these saints while in their company. If one would take the time to look at it and scrutinize it closely, they could say, oh yeah, these people were real. They weren't fake. So 42, there was no need of flattery or other human gimmicks that they said in their disclaimer they did not engage in. For Team Paul to appeal to these, as the world uses these things, these tactics, etc., to try to get people on their side. There was no need for any of that, to appeal to these as a compatibility, point 42, their positive volition provided a natural source of affection. Isn't that cool? That's just cool beans, man, if you ask me. That's the way positive volition is. Positive church and a positive pastor. So, 43, the note of maternal and marital affection in verses 7 and 8 are designed to highlight the two deepest of affections humans bestow upon another, obviously, the mother and the child, and now right man, right woman. So, 44, this translates in the evangelistic realm to ensure the spiritual needs of new converts are met appropriately, which is made possible by the willingness of the evangelist to embrace the newfound positive volition at the highest level of self-giving. That is, to stay humble and to deal with them at their own proper level. Don't push them, if you will. Don't coerce them. Don't engage in other types of gymnastics to try to get them on your side. Simply present them with the truth. With the basic truth, that which they need to know, that which they need to hear. You don't get off the subject. And if they're positive, it will come out. And that way, a natural bond is established between the individuals. So 45, this in turn then ensures that any abuse of authority or self-glory, approbation of men, is not the motivational cause behind their ministry. See, I've often wondered about that in regards to evangelists, like to tout their physical capabilities and accomplishments in life. It just smacks of approbation. People get up and want to brag about these things first and foremost under the name of banner of evangelizing. You can avoid that if you just get up and say, look, here's the truth. Are you interested? So 46, rather, it is because the highest love, which is divine love in the whole matter, brought out in the term beloved, very dear, that the adjusted communicator finds as its natural attraction the desire to share with other positive volition. It's just natural. So 47, that self-giving drives Team Paul's ministry is implication, then, of avoiding greed. Of avoiding greed, since they are not selfish, etc. Verse 5b, which hard evidence then is exemplified in verse 9 as he deals with the financial aspects of his ministry. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, Holy Spirit, to continue to light us to see things and bring us back to the next Bible class. In Jesus' name.